Father, we come today acknowledging that we need your help, Lord, both to understand this passage and then to be able to put it into practice. We know that you want what is best for each and every one of our homes. And we know that your work begins in the heart. Whether we be a husband, a wife, or a child, your work begins in the heart. And it is through your word that is the first step, that we begin to understand your plan. And then as you work in us by your Holy Spirit, then you begin to produce in us things that are in keeping with your word and what you have written and what is best for us, both now and for all eternity. So, Lord, we pray today that as we come to this passage in your word, that we will not take it lightly, and that we will seek you concerning how each of us may best implement what you have put in the words of Scripture. And we know that all that you have written is for our good and for our edification. So open our hearts today to your word. Open our minds to understand. And then deal with us in our hearts day by day as we seek to follow you in your truth. These things we ask humbly in Jesus' name and for his sake, for he is the head of the church. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. We've been talking about authority for several weeks now. We started out talking about the role of authority in the life of the believer and being able to rid ourselves of things that are not pleasing to the Lord. We have that authority in him. Also, how authority pertains to prayer. Also, general principles of authority. And then last week, about how God has instituted earthly authorities, whether it be in the home, whether it be in the church, whether it be in society. God has established earthly authorities because these are necessary in order to maintain order and in order for things to be as they ought to be. So ultimately, all authority rests with God, and he is the author of authority. And how well we do in this area oftentimes has to do even with how successful we are in life. Because if we're not able to submit to authority properly, we're going to run into problems and conflicts at almost every turn. And we may be well trained and we may be very gifted at what we do, but if we can't submit to authority, we're still going to run into problems just about at every turn. And so many of the conflicts in the workplace, in the church, and in the home are really over issues of authority. So one thing we could be asking the Lord is, Lord, help me as an individual, as a believer in you, as a follower of you, to know what is my proper place to submit to the authorities that you have placed over me. Because when we submit to the authorities that he has placed in our lives, then we are pleasing to him. And when we don't, we're not pleasing. And we also suffer the consequences. Now, we made the statement last week that when Satan wants to bring down a nation, the very first thing that he does is do what? Attack its authority structures. And the enemy has been able to do that very, very successfully in Western culture over the last 50 or 60 years. And we are seeing the outworking of that every single day in the news, in our schools, in our homes, in our neighborhoods. We are seeing how successful the enemy has been at basically bringing down the authority structures or misapplying them. So much so that when we come to a passage like the one today, there are people that almost choke on this passage. Now, I don't claim to be an authority on this passage. And I will say this. I'm sharing God's truth with you this morning as I do week by week. I share this in great humility, because I know that I don't measure up in areas. And I know that there are areas where I'm weak in this. But we all are. And we don't throw out God's truth just because we have, you know, whatever, our own flaws or difficulties. But it is always our goal, because as believers, we want to live according to what God has said. But I hope that what we do share this morning, I hope, will be able to bring us a little bit of perspective on this sensitive issue. But I think that we can all agree on one thing, and that is that if authority is an important thing in life in general, and if it has great implications for life in general, then where more would either the good or the bad that comes from authority and how it's exercised and responded to, where more will authority have a greater impact than in the home? Because that's where life begins. And that's where we're supposed to spend the first, whatever, 18, 20 years of our lives, all things being equal. And today, sometimes more. But in any event, this is where the rubber really meets the road, because these relationships are so intimate. And so that's why it could be that following the Lord in obedience in this particular area is possibly the most challenging one of all. Harder than submitting at the job, harder than submitting in the church setting or at school or in any other setting. Because there's an old saying, familiarity breeds contempt. I don't know how many here are old enough to remember that saying. But we may find it harder to properly respond to authority in our own home setting than perhaps anywhere else. And yet this is precisely, I think, if we ask the Lord, where is it the most important that I follow you in this, that he would say, in the home. So my prayer today is that the Lord would open our hearts to his word. I share his truth, but I do so with great humility. Let's start today. If you're one of those who uses the notes or whatever, now would be a good time to start. As we read 1 Corinthians 11:3, we have God's chain of command clearly enunciated by the Apostle Paul in words that are clear enough for any of us to understand. And when I do premarital counseling with couples, this is one of a handful of verses that we actually turn to and read, because I think it's that important. Now, I want you to realize, I want you to know, I want you to fully understand and grasp the fact that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. And so we have this chain of command with God at the top, God the Father, and the Son under him, who is in submission to the Father. And then in the home, the man under Christ, and then the wife or the woman under the man, and then the children under both parents, under the man and the woman. That is God's chain of command. That is the one that we have the most trouble with. And that is the one that is constantly under attack in a secular society. But let's talk a little bit about these roles. God's plan for the home is clear. Now, we read the passage. Wives, submit to your husbands to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as Christ is head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love that passage. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy. And this is the part that people really don't dwell on, this part here. They always get hung up. They can't get past the head part or the submission part, but we don't hear this part talked about a lot. cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. When he who loves his wife loves himself. And he goes on from there. He's to love and cherish her. So let's look at the roles. And I've reduced them to just some key words here so that hopefully they're easy to remember. What are the two main roles that God has assigned to the man in the home? And this is number one. To love and to lead. Number two. God's role for the woman. To support and nurture. And God's role for the children, to honor and obey. And I have in my mind here, God establishing the home, and he says, I've got a new institution that I'm going to establish, and here are the guidelines for it. It would be like if Jessica said, we're going to have a quartet here, and you're going to do the lead, and you're going to do the alto, and you're going to do the soprano, and you're going to do the tenor. And when each one knows what their place is and what they're supposed to do, what's the result of that? Harmony and beautiful music. Or if we were to set up a business, okay, you're going to be the administrator, you're going to be the bookkeeper, you're going to be the salesman that's out in the field, you're going to be the one to keep the here at the church, we have trustees and we have all these different positions, and each one is important, and each one has to take place in order for things to go smoothly. And a lot of these things we take for granted. We come on Sunday morning and the church is open and the air conditioner is on and all that, but it's because each one knows their assignment and they're doing it. So Jesus, or the Lord says, I'm going to start an institution here. And I'm going to call it the home. And in each of these homes, we're going to have a daddy, and we're going to have a mother, and we're going to have children. Now, Dad, your role is to love and to lead. Mama, your role is to support and nourish. And children, your role is to honor and obey Mom and Dad. That's it. It's no more complicated than that. So he says to the men, men, your role is to... Men, your role is to... And ladies, your role is to... And children... Up to age, at least 18, your role is to, I can't hear you, to honor and obey. Have we got our roles? Are we ready? Of course, to say it and then to do it. One's a lot easier than the other. But let's talk a little bit. He says that the man is the head of the family. And let's talk a little bit about what leadership is. Because God says that the man under Christ, now this is very important, under Christ, meaning in accountability to Christ, under the authority of Christ, under the guidance of Christ, in constant seeking the will of Christ, is to be the leader in the home. Let's look real quick here at just a few essential qualities of a good leader, especially as it would apply in a situation like the home, because the home isn't a business. The home is a family unit. Number one, cares for those he leads. Now think of Jesus in this as the leader of his 12 disciples. Cares for those he leads. He truly has a true interest in each one and wants what is best for each one. Can you really say that, Dad? Sometimes that takes a little heart searching. Number two, a good leader takes the initiative. A good leader doesn't just wait for other people to do something or just pass out orders, but takes the initiative. I used to have a manager over at Price's Campostella. He would say, Amos, let's go over here and rearrange these shelves. Let's come over here and do this. He was that kind of a leader. He took the initiative, and he was usually involved in what was going on. Number three, leads by example. It's not do what I say, but not as I do, but rather do as I do. So leads by example. He doesn't just say, you all go to church. He is in church himself. We could start with nothing more than that. I mean, in the average home today, I mean, you know, that would just be one good place to start. It's not the only place. And I'm not saying, lady, if your husband won't accompany you, don't come to church. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that would be a real good place where men could begin to show some leadership. And teaching by example, if we're going to teach by example. What do you think when you hear a four-year-old using some cuss words? They've learned something by example, haven't they? Oh, yeah, we learn by example. We've probably heard people say, yeah, your actions are speaking so loud, I can't hear what you're saying. And so, as leaders, we lead by example. And number four, a good leader knows he is accountable. He is accountable. And will give an account and views that as a privilege and a responsibility. Being a good leader, let's look at a few things it doesn't mean. Being a good leader does not mean being a dictator. Everything, my word is law here. Number two, does not mean being a taskmaster. Out in the world, especially the business world, they put a high value on just getting the job done. And the message oftentimes from further up is, however you have to treat them, it doesn't really matter. Just we're results. Have you ever heard that? We're results oriented. So you just, it doesn't really matter if you treat them right, just as long as the job gets done. No. That's not what the home is all about. So being a good leader is not being a dictator, and it's not being a taskmaster. It's not throwing one's weight around. Any of us can do that. Some better than others. Number four, it's not taking pride in one's position or title. And we've probably all met a few people that, I tell you what, they polish that little thing on the desk every morning, you know, and they wear the little thing, and they want to be addressed a certain way or whatever, and, you know, and taking pride in one's position. That doesn't make a good leader. Using one's position for one's own benefit or gain. Would a daddy ever do that? Well, he shouldn't. But I have a feeling there are homes where that is the case. Being a good leader doesn't mean rejecting the input of others and never being willing to listen. In fact, good leaders do listen. And they want to know what their people are thinking. And even if they make a final decision that's different, they want to know that they've heard every point of view. And they want to know that hopefully whatever decision they've made is based on good information of the true realities of what is going on. And these are the leaders that ultimately get the best results. What does submission mean and not mean? And I'm thinking primarily here where it says, wives, submit to your husbands. So we're looking at it in that context this morning. Submission does not mean passive servility. Just being a doormat. Walk on me. Oh, honey, anything you say is fine. Just anything at all. If that is your basic attitude or personality, then, you know, whatever. But that is not what submission means. It does not mean that one is not entitled to have opinions or voice them. It does not mean that one does not have valid input or should not have an active role in the decision-making process. That is not what submission means. And we talked a week or two ago about the fact that marriage, we've talked about marriage, and that it is a companionship thing. So the man is head and he is leader. But that doesn't cancel out the fact that he and his wife are partners in life and they work side by side and that most things are going to be done together and decided together. But let's look at maybe what submission does mean. Number one, that we understand that no ship can have two captains. Final responsibility must always have a resting place. And this is one of the principles that I do share with every couple that I counsel. Harry Truman made popular that phrase, "The buck stops here." How many have heard that? The buck stops here. What was Harry Truman saying? He was saying, I take ultimate responsibility for every decision that comes out of the executive branch. The buck stops here. If you go to a local school, there's going to be one office and one desk where the buck stops. If you go to a local company, trucking company, plumbing company, any kind of a company, even Food Lion, there's going to be one desk where the buck stops. You cannot have an organization where there is not one final resting place for that authority. And that is why God has established the man as the leader in the home. It is not that he's saying to the man, well, your wife's opinion don't account, or you shouldn't listen to her or take her feelings. No, her feelings should be very, very much in your thoughts. But suppose there is an issue of some substance that even after all the talking and compromising and everything else that you can possibly do, there just isn't going to be agreement on that one. Who gets to make the decision? God says the husband does. And it's that simple. Because just as in any place, there has to be one place where there's ultimate accountability. What else does submission mean? It means that we acknowledge and respect the authorities over us and willingly submit to them in conformity with the Word of God. Number three, it means that we are willing to leave outcomes to the Lord. One of the main reasons we don't want to let go in certain areas is, but what if? Leave that what if with the Lord. Let the person make the decision that's supposed to make it. And then go to the Lord in prayer and give that decision to Him. Because at that point, it's not your responsibility anymore. Number four, it means that we believe God honors obedience. That when He says submit, that is exactly what He means. Number five, it means that we understand the principle of accountability. That is, that the one with the authority is the one accountable for both the decision and the outcome. I tell you what, there are a lot of decisions right here as pastor. Now, that's another arena. But I'm glad there are boards and committees to make them. But it takes a weight off of us. And I tell you what, knowing that there's someone else that's going to take the final, you know, that's actually not a negative thing. Number six, it means that we implicitly trust God's sovereignty. Is God really sovereign or not? Or do we have to get in there and help Him out from time to time? And ultimately, number seven, submission means that we can accept our assigned role with grace and maturity. And it will take some maturity in order to get to that place. Now, we've said all this, and I know I'm going over a little bit. But is this easy to do? This is not easy to do. This is something that may be a challenge almost on a daily basis. But let me say this, that if we believe the Bible, if we believe God's Word, if we believe God, and if as Christians, then we, our desire should be to obey the Word of the Lord and to do what the Word of the Lord says. Not to explain it away, not to find a way around it, not to challenge it or to defy it. We have the same courts of appeal in the home that we have with any leader. We can appeal, we can influence, and we can pray for. We still have those things that we can do. But our basic desire should be, in other words, we should want it to work the way the Lord says. And even if we're not yet there, we should be working on it. And we should be saying, both husbands and wives, as a husband, Lord, am I leading the way I should lead? And what are the areas where I can improve? To the wife, am I submitting as I should? Or am I trying to make? Now, we get into the area of responsibilities. Are all husbands good leaders? The answer is no. And you can find in any walk of life people that are weak in the position they're in. Does that mean then we should say, well, let's abolish the position? I haven't seen any companies yet abolishing the position of supervisor because they had one or two bad supervisors. And I realize that in a home setting, as in some other settings, if there's an area where the leader won't lead, then at that point, it kind of becomes a default situation. And the wife may need to step in to a certain critical area. She's not usurping her husband's authority. In that case, he has given that up. He has not done it. So she should not be trying to take it away if he's doing it. But if he won't do it, I would admit that there are places where the wife may have to do it. But that's not the ideal. And that's not, and the wife should be looking to make her husband a better leader. Now, I realize that no leader is perfect, but let me ask you this. Any leader, anywhere, in the home, in the church, in the business, or anywhere else, will the leader do better if he's constantly challenged and criticized and maligned, or will he do better if he's supported and encouraged? Very, very simple. And so, we say, Lord, help me as your child to follow your word and help our homes, help us in our home to be reflecting what you have put down. And again, when the assignments are given to love and to lead, to support and nourish, to honor and obey, let me tell you something, that's not a perfect home. But that is a home that is a model of what the Lord wants. And that is a home that overall is functional. And that is a home that overall exemplifies the Lord's will and purpose. And that is a home where ultimately each member will become all that God wants them to be. Shall we pray? Father, we come to you today and we take these things seriously, Lord. And we realize what a challenge this often is and can be. And we realize that sometimes it takes years of work to even get close to what would really be a working model of what you have set down. Nonetheless, Lord, as your people, let us not take the attitude of, well, it's hopeless, it's useless, it's beyond anything we can do, because nothing is beyond you. And whatever you have ordered in your word, you have provided grace for it to be done, if we will but submit first to you and say, Lord, I do want to be obedient in this area. help me to be obedient in this area. Whether it's the husband as the leader, or the wife as a supporter and nourisher, or the child as the one who is to honor and obey. Lord, with your help, we can be and we can become the people you want us to be. In our homes, when they follow your model, Lord, they're going to bring honor and glory to you. So we pray, Lord, today for each of us, that we might grow in the roles that you have assigned us, that we might acknowledge your authority as being the final one, and that we might know that all of us ultimately are going to give account to you. But we want to give account to you on a day-to-day basis and say, Lord, if I messed up today, forgive me, but help me tomorrow to do a better job and to look to our Lord Jesus Christ as the model of what a leader is, and then look at the church in her resplendent glory as the role of the wife. And Lord, we thank you that when it's all over, you're going to make everything perfect. Bless our homes today. Bless each of our dads, each of our mothers, and all of our young people and children. And do work in us by your Holy Spirit to be the moms and the dads and the children that we ought to be. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.